Hey folks, Rashad here. Welcome to a very special episode of Comic Book Corner with our friend Zachary. This segment originally was supposed to be in July, but it ran a bit long, so we had to take it out and make it its own episode. But we got a lot of good Spider-Man stuff in this, so we think you'll really enjoy it, and we'll see you at the end.
Okay guys, and now it's time for our monthly Rashad's Comic Corner with our good friend Zach, who is our Spider-Man expert.
Aficionado.
I appreciate you having me back. I'm assuming that means that we didn't get that much hate mail on the last time, right?
Honestly, we didn't get any, so.
Oh.
We didn't get anything good or bad, so.
Oh, well. Well, we'll save that for next time. Cows. Yes, but we're actually going to talk about something good, not something bad. It's mentioned that we're going to talk about classic issue Amazing Spider-Man 50, the Spider-Man No More issue. It has one of the most iconic like comic book covers of all like the Spider-Man issues. Some people put it up there with all comics in general, but it's just very recognizable and it's just a very intense image. It's kind of a simple image on the cover, but it just actually it evokes a lot from it. So John Romita did a great job drawing that one.
He was one of my favorite artists.
Yeah, but personally, I love John. I mean, it's classic type thing. You know, you see that and you think Spider-Man. I love John Romita, and his son actually does a really good job too, John Romita Jr. So
I met him at the Baltimore Comic Con. He was really
you
nice.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. It's always good that you can actually meet some of these people and they're nice
yeah.
in person.
Yeah. It kind of ruins it when they're jerks, right?
That's true. But anyway, this issue is called Spider-Man No More. And as the title implies, it's about Peter giving up the webs. And at the time, you know, this was back in the 60s type thing when they didn't have the internet. They didn't know what was coming and anticipating different things. This could have legitimately been, you know, the last issue of Spider-Man for people who are reading it. Because you didn't know that Spider-Man was going to last 500 or 600 issues. And you could stop at 50 and it would be a good number. And it'd be a really good run for a comic. So, you know, the lead in, like, you know, hey, we're going to stop at 50. And for people reading it, we're like, you know, is this really the end? And of course, in the context of it, Peter gives up the webs. And the reason kind of he does that, the issue opens and he's essentially fighting some just, you know, generic bad guys who are trying to do some general robbery and thievery. And so he prevents them from stealing from these people. And the couple come out, and one of them is there to, you know, to thank Spidey for what he's done, and the other one essentially is kind of very hesitant and is afraid of him. And he cites the reason, says, you know, that all the stuff that the Daily Bugle says about him, and J. Jonah Jameson's editorials has him afraid of him. And of course, the lady is saying, no, I think he's okay. And her name, by the way, is Martha, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. But that does not make her and Spider-Man best friends instantly. That's important to know. So Spider-Man is kind of, he's already had kind of like a bad day anyway, and this kind of pushes him over the top that he's having to deal with jolly old Flat Top that keeps writing all these terrible things about him, and he's kind of sulking on himself, which is kind of what, you know, you expect a young teenager to do, I guess, that he says that everyone, like the Fantastic Four is so popular, they think Daredevil is so cool, and Captain America is, you know, Captain America, and then with Spider-Man, he gets nothing. And also at this point, he's really struggling to maintain the balance in his double life, because, you know, it's even more so than usual at this point. His social life is struggling. He's missing out on things at home. Something happens with Aunt May, he's not there. And his grades are suffering in college. So he just kind of thinks, you know, maybe he's done enough. Maybe it's actually time that he has a life for himself. So he actually throws the costume away in a garbage can. And that's one of the iconic scenes of him leaving the costume in a garbage can, walking away from it. And of course, later on, some child finds the costume and takes it to J. Jonah Jameson, who's super excited that he feels like, you know, he's beaten the webhead, that he's made him quit, that he's won. As the issue kind of goes on, Peter's living a normal life, and then he sees someone else who needs help, and he can't really stay away, but he's not in costume. He's able to help the person. And then he kind of realizes, once he gets away from him, that the guy kind of reminds him of his uncle. He looked a lot like him. And then he remembers, you know, the promise that he made, that he kind of felt like if there's something I should do, or that I can do, I should do it. You know, that he was given these abilities for a reason. The whole, with great power comes great responsibility. And so he decides that that he can't just not do it. He would feel too bad about it, and he feel like he would be letting his uncle down because that one time that, you know, he decided, I just want to be selfish, that was the person who killed his uncle, and he had a chance to stop it. So Spidey goes back, and it shows him climbing up the Daily Bugle, and he takes the suit back that Jameson has posted up there. And of course, in classic Spidey fashion, he's kind of waiting there on JJ. And JJ's all upset, you know, that he's like, you know, you're stealing my suit from me. And Spidey just gives him one of his typical one-liners, say, you know, the next time you're going to take my suit and hold it for me, at least have it dry clean for me. I'd appreciate it. And then just swings off. So Spidey's back. So it's a very classic story, and one that's kind of, you don't know the impact of it at the time. This is actually the introduction of the Kingpin, because while all that was going on in Peter's life, they have kind of a scene going on in the background. It's the rise of the Kingpin.
That's right. Yeah, he sees that Spider-Man quit. He's like, this is an opportunity.
Yeah, it's a good time for him to actually, you know, rise to the mantle. And if that story seemed very similar, it should, because that's the whole premise of Spider-Man 2. Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2. So,
I mean, the cover is literally, they have this scene in the movie where he's got in the trash can, he's walking away. It's not picture perfect, like the legs not hanging out of the trash can, but
no.
I mean, they pretty much nailed it. As soon as you see it, you know what it is.
It's close. And I mean, you know, the story itself, I mean, it's really well done, and that's one of the reasons they use it for Spider-Man 2, is that it's such a good and iconic story, and that you can kind of relate to it, because Peter felt kind of burned out, because he's not Captain America, he's not Thor, he was just a kid, and he was trying to live his life, and that was supposed to be the thing that, you know, you identify, how hard would that be for a kid to have to juggle all of those things and be Spider-Man? So he just kind of got burned out on it.
And unlike most heroes, he actually, you know, he has like a job, like, you know, Captain America is just Captain America, he's actually working a job, he's got sick family members who aren't, you know, who need taken care of, they're not rich. It was always good. But it also reminded me why I always loved J. Jonah Jameson. Like, he's a villain, but, you know, he's not your traditional villain. Like, he's not like a threat, but he's just always there. Because in the comic, he offers a reward for anyone that captures or kills Superman.
For Spot.
What was it, like $5,000? Like, something crazy, but it was just
like that.
Yeah. But it was like, I always liked him as a villain. Like, he's not totally like a bad guy, but.
There are many opportunities in the comics where, I mean, JJ, I mean, he's not necessarily an evil person. He just views Spider-Man in a different light, and that comes to light later. The reason he doesn't like him is because he wears a mask, and that strikes a chord with him, because depending on which origin story you see, that, you know, he had someone close to him killed by someone who wears a mask, so anyone who wears a mask, he thinks, is outside the law. But even though, you know, yeah, so he always gives Spider-Man a hard time for that, and you kind of think, you know, he's kind of a bad character, he's not that really nice guy, but the opportunities that he actually has to step up, and you see a couple of these in the movies as well, where it reflects that, where it shows a strong stand of character. J. Jonah Jameson actually, he shows that a few times. Like in, for example, in the first Spider-Man movie, when the Green Goblin comes to confront him and he wants to know who takes the pictures of Spider-Man, he's got him by the throat, essentially about to kill him, and he says, who takes the pictures of Spider-Man? And Peter's right there in the room, and he stands up and he says, I don't know who he is. His stuff comes in the mail.
That's true.
And then he does that, of course, in Spider-Man 2, right before Spider-Man steals the suit back. He, you know, admits that Spider-Man was a hero. And, of course, as soon as he lost that dynamic, you know, that back and forth that he had, that he probably enjoyed. It's probably something that, you know, he got out of bed thinking that, you know, hey, I'm going to get to rip on Spider-Man today. But once he found out Spider-Man was actually gone, he missed it.
I did love that scene where he's, like, talking like, he's... You know, he's a hero. He comes, steals the suit. He's like, he's a menace! I told you he was a menace!
I want him strung up by his webs! So.
Yeah, this was a great issue. You actually get to see, like, his relationship with Gwen. Because I kind of forgot, like, you know, she was interested in him. He just didn't have the nerve to talk to her. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, the writing back then was kind of very, I don't know. I mean, he was with the time, but it was kind of hokey. Some of the language that they used and stuff. But she was essentially trying to make him jealous, because she talked about Flash. Flash had actually, at the time, was returning from the Vietnam War. So they were talking about his return as well.
You see a lot of that with the writing, where it's very clear like other times. Like,
yeah.
Like, anytime they try to put social issues, it's kind of like, you can tell it's like an older person trying to understand like what's going on with like the youth. And it's,
yeah, the actual, let me see if I can find one. There's when he's sitting there and he's kind of, you know, talking about how all the other
heroes are more well thought of. He uses the line, Captain America turns him on, but just mention Spider-Man and Freezeville.
Yeah.
There you go. Stan the man at his finest, right there.
Freezeville. I feel like Stan was probably old even back then.
He probably was. Yeah. I mean, if you imagine someone old trying to write, you know, young and hip language, that was it.
It's usually kind of obvious, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, it was a great story, and I think it translated well into the Spider-Man 2 movie, because I would still rank Spider-Man 2 movie as one of the best superhero movies that's been made, because there are issues with it now when you go back and look at it, but it still holds up
really
well, the actual movie.
I feel like most of my issues with it are small, like, oh, Spider-Man's swinging, but there's nothing for him to be swinging off of. Well, that's just Spider-Man. Yeah. You kind of get used to it, so...
Yeah, well, they did that in the Civil War movie, too, because he's out on an airport. What is he swinging? are there planes flying by that he's just webbing quickly? He's not webbing anything. Now, when he goes into the terminal, I understand that, because you can see it. But when he's out on the tarmac, there's a reason. It's a wide open space, so the planes can take off.
And I don't know if this is a reference to that, but there's a scene where he's fighting Captain America, and he says... Your shield defies physics or logic. And he replies, so do you. I feel like they're making a joke about Spider-Man. I'm not quite sure.
Well, it's a really good nod. I like that they use Spider-Man for it. He just comes in and kind of points out the obvious people kind of think. And it's like, so they just kind of make a joke on themselves, which is always a good thing to do. So.
Yes. Can I just say, and this is off topic, I'm so happy that Marvel wasn't be doing that Spider-Man movie.
I agree, because if Marvel had been doing them from the beginning... we would not have had the disaster of Spider-Man 3, I believe.
Absolutely.
That was probably the second movie that I ever went to see at midnight. Like a midnight showing, I was super excited. And you know, people who go to see movies like that at midnight are usually pretty hardcore fans.
Yeah.
And they're pretty intense. They're usually going to be devoted to it and kind of overlook flaws. I think that's the only movie that I saw at midnight type thing, where at the end of it, like the movie's off and the credits start rolling... nobody made it. Usually people cheer or clap, or there's, you know, one or two. It was silent. It was like a funeral. Which is ironic, because they just killed the franchise. They had to restart it.
Yeah, it was a bit much.
I mean, and the movie still could have been good. I thought of three very quick things on Spider-Man 3 that they could have done. I feel it would have improved the movie drastically. I mean, it's kind of off-topic one thing, but... one, to me, to fix Spider-Man 3, this is just one nitpick thing. In the scene where Harry comes and snatches him off of his motorcycle, his spider-sense doesn't go off. And I'm totally okay with him still snatching him off the motorcycle, but because he's coming back from seeing Aunt May and he's kind of distracted by the whole thing of his, you know, getting the ring and he's really excited, if they would have just shown it going off and him not paying attention, because that was common in the comic books for him to be sick or distracted and... that type of thing. And then one of the... oh, gosh. It's probably a tie for the two worst scenes, but the other two things that should have been changed in that movie. Remove the scene where Harry's butler comes and talks to him. They made it such a crucial scene in the movie, like a turning point for Harry to make his decision. And bless him, the actor who was playing the butler could not pull it off. He couldn't. And I would have preferred him just to take it out of action scenes of him in the black costume. Just, you know, doing random things like four or five different things where he goes and he's saving people, but you can see that he's slowly losing control, like where he gets more aggressive.
I'm not going to lie. I do love a good montage, so.
Yeah. Can you think of a good montage of Spidey in the black costume? Like show a time where he can tell he's more powerful, but he's losing control, like where he actually picks up and he almost kills somebody, like to the point, and that's where he stops. And that would have been a great opportunity to throw in the Shocker. Throw in...
the character.
Villain.
Okay,
yes. No. We're not going there.
The Shocker.
I'm talking about the character. Now, yes. Actually,
was that in the movie?
Actually, it was. It was in that dance emo montage. He threw the Shocker at him.
Very friendly with Gwen Stacy.
Yeah. She didn't need to be in the movie either. But if they would have replaced that, like with had him. You know, fighting off the Shocker, everybody would have recognized. Oh, that's so cool. The Shocker doesn't. A big villain.
I quit calling it the Shocker. I can't deal with him. Is that his actual name?
That's his name. Yeah.
I really wish I had known that before.
So well, I mean, we can call him the Quilted Man if you want to.
I like that better.
His suit does look like his grammatical term for him.
So anyway.
This isn't helping at all, you guys.
It would have been great to see him take out the quilted man. And then at like the very end, like him picking up like an entire car, like standing up over him, like he's about to smash his face in with it. And then realize, you know, I've gone too far. And I think that would have been much better than him going and buying new clothes and dancing and But I'm going to get off my soapbox about Spider-Man 3 now. I'm done.
We can talk garbage movies all day long. That's my favorite.
I thought we were not supposed to talk about Batman v Superman.
We're not. We're not talking about that. We're not. We've talked about that for 10 episodes.
Have y'all discussed that on this podcast? Have you?
I don't know if y'all are aware, but we haven't talked in depth about BVS. I'm pretty sure people who haven't even seen the movie could just listen to our podcast and have the gist of it.
Yeah. But you know what, Zach? Good Spider-Man movies, both use like some kind of iconic scene from the comic books. I was just thinking about that. I was like, and I don't remember there being any from 3. I feel like 3 was just completely free-going.
There was one, but I felt like it was kind of overshadowed. It's the scene in the bell tower when he rips when the costume comes off of him.
See? Completely just... Yeah.
All you see when you think about that movie is the terrible dancing thing, and then because it was the third movie in a row where they used Mary Jane as a hostage. I mean, can we do something else?
Yeah.
Can we do something else?
No, because the world is run by the patriarchy. They think that's all that women are good for.
Okay. Oh, God.
Rashad's like, I'm cutting that out.
Well, at least they didn't put her in a freezer and kill her. Could be worse.
Who did that?
Green Lantern. It was Kyle Rayner, who in my opinion is the worst. Well, the guy with the bowl cut was pretty bad too, but they introduced this female love interest and then they have the bad guys come looking for him. They find her. They kill her, stuff in her freezer. Captain Atom is Captain. Major Force. Major Force stuck her in a freezer and left a note. And that's supposed to be his motivation for her.
Sounds like a terrible comic book if you had Major Force and Shocker team up. That's awful.
That'd be the worst book ever. Major Force and Shocker.
That sounds like a porn title, guys. I'm just going to say it. Everybody's thinking it. I'm going to say it.
Major Force and Shocker.
Oh my god.
Major Force and the Shocker.
Oh, it sounds like an incredibly violent porn.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing you bring home and your wife's like, what is happening? No. I want a divorce. This is done.
That would be a
deal. I mean, honestly, you could do that with a lot of superheroes' name. You could even throw Major Force, the Shocker, and the Iron Man. I mean, you could use anybody's.
Iron Man sounds better than the Shocker. Listen, nobody's going to be able to redeem the Shocker. I'm sorry. Yeah. If I didn't know about the other Shocker, maybe. Oh, man. My mom listens to this. She's going to know I know what the Shocker is.
Hi, Jessica's mom. Your dad's a pervert.
Great.
Sorry.
You know, Spider-Man 3 could have been good.
Absolutely.
They had way too many villains going on. They were doing way too much with the storyline. They were doing way too much with way too many characters, which
is weird, though, because Civil War shows us you can do that.
Like, plus, you have to build it up to that.
Yeah. But I was like, they have a lot of characters in that movie, and it works.
You can't just Justice League it and just unleash 50 characters all at one time. It's just not how it works. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, Jessica, if you make it a long enough movie, it's fine.
You mean 3.5 hours? I'm sure it's fine.
4-hour movie, guys. We can do some all over 4 hours.
If the movie's good, I'll sit and watch it. I don't care.
If the movie is good, but if it's garbage, 2.5 hours is already enough.
That's true.
That's very true.
And back on to Spider-Man 3, what were your opinion on the changing of the origin of the death of Uncle Ben? Because they had Sandman be the killer in that one.
Oh, that's right.
I would have been more okay with it if it wasn't so obvious in the first movie that it was that guy.
Yeah.
Like, if they had left it a little bit more ambiguous in the movie, then it's fine. But I was like, no, we saw the first movie. It was definitely that guy. You showed us
the continuity off a pretty big axis. I mean, like, it just, like, throws it completely off.
Maybe have Sandman be the guy that hired, like, he worked for the Sandman character, and, you know, so ultimately it's Sandman's fault that his uncle died. I mean, that would work.
Well, they wanted you to feel sorry for the Sandman, that one, so he's not, like, a true villain, because, you know, he cared about his daughter, he didn't actually mean to shoot Uncle Ben, blah, 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 but he was totally okay at the end with, you know, becoming giant Sandman and just, you know, smashing random people.
That's true.
So it's, I don't know, the movie has lots of flaws.
Oh, yeah.
It's garbage.
I honestly can't say I've ever watched it outside the one time.
Yeah, but that's the only time I've ever Maybe seen twice. It. It's the one time. I've seen it once. And I remember when the dancing started out, everybody was just like looking at each other like, is this really happening? Is this real life right now?
Well, was it the same look like that you and James gave to each other when Batman started floating up out of the...
Oh, God.
The one where we're about to be like, we're about to piece the fuck out of here if this is actually happening? Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Of course, they threw that into Spider-Man much further into the movie.
Yeah, but
BVS just kind of threw it into the beginning, and you're like, really? Honestly, it would really take a lot to make me leave a movie. I've never left a movie, so it probably would have to be like, you'd have to be like, I don't even know. I sat through Transformers movies. I mean.
I almost left Indiana Jones.
You should. You should have left that
movie. I think the reason I stayed was because I was on a date, and I was just like.
Oh, okay, I see.
I want her to think like I'm that kind of guy, but I was really mad.
I think you should have let her know you were that kind of guy because you weren't going to put up with Shia LaBeouf swinging through the trees like Tarzan.
Shia LaBeouf, I'm not going to put up with your shit. Get out of here. Take your monkeys and go home.
Actual camera, Shia LaBeouf.
Just do it. Just do it.
Oh my God. All right. You have anything
that is going on the Facebook page tonight. Everybody needs to enjoy. Everybody. It's not even Halloween yet. I don't know why I associate that with Halloween. Never mind.
Why do you associate that with Halloween?
I don't know. Probably because of Tumblr.
Oh.
Shia LaBeouf.
I'm thinking about the Transformers movies. Do the other, like, his non-Transformers movies, do they have one randomly just racially stereotyped characters?
You mean incredibly racist?
Because there's always at least one, you know, of something, of the robots that is a racial stereotype.
Whatever.
Are the other characters like that in his other movies?
Did I see Pearl Harbor? Didn't you make Pearl Harbor?
We have started with Spider-Man No More, gone to The Shocker, and now to Pearl Harbor.
This is kind of how it works in the podcast, honestly.
Okay.
Isn't that right, Rashad? We had already talked about changing our name. What are you doing, Rashad?
Just waiting. I'm trying to do the editing in my head while you guys are talking.
I hate you so
much. Trying to find a way to segment back to the original thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that people will pay for that are terrible, with Spider-Man 3, it made a lot of money, but that was only in the opening weekends. And then,
That's kind of how those movies work, though.
The drop, yeah.
Yeah, there was a significant drop.
BVS did the same thing. It made a shit ton of movie opening weekend. Shit ton of movie. Shit ton
it
of
was. They did opening weekend because they added 30 minutes to it.
And then it went insanely downhill after that. It dropped off substantially the second weekend it was open. So yeah, garbage movie is garbage.
But you know what's not garbage?
Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man number 50. Spider-Man's not garbage. It was very classically written. I mean, you think, like I said, we still had Stan the Man writing at that point. He made it through, he made it over 100. I think he stopped at 100, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, at that point, you've done enough.
He's like 10,000 years old, so. He just stopped his comic circuit. I mean, his convention circuit.
Did he?
Yeah.
It was great meeting him. Like, seriously, he was like the nicest guy.
Did you like geek out all over him?
I did. I think he took a look at my at Steph's cleavage, but whatever.
Did you be like, huh?
Yeah.
You're good, right?
Wait, give me five. Give me five. I'll let you touch him.
No.
What? Stan Lee.
You took it to a dark place.
What? Stan Lee. What Stan Lee wants, Stan Lee gets. No.
He didn't take it to. You took it to a dark place with the Shocker. You did.
Excuse me, he was going to let a 90-year-old man touch his wife's breasts.
Yeah, but this 90-year-old man created Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so that makes it okay?
Spider-Man.
Yes.
Alright, guys.
You need to get your priorities straight, Jessica.
Now the hate mail's definitely coming
in. I mean, can you imagine
what he
would have done? Because you're in the wrong. Can you imagine what we would have been okay with if he...
wife to another husband. Another man.
Stan Lee, I mean that was just for a high five. Can you imagine what Rashad would have given up for a hug?
Mm. Oh, man.
Did you hug him?
No, I wish.
Uh-huh. Did you get to shake his hand?
Yeah, I don't think they'll let you hug him.
What?
Probably break him. He's so fragile looking.
He did look fragile, seriously.
His hip would snap in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
All right, what do you guys think is Stan Lee's best cameo in a Marvel movie?
Go ahead, Rashad.
Deadpool.
Okay, Deadpool's is pretty good.
Although he wasn't actually in the strip club.
Thank God.
He's like, I can't believe they didn't invite me for that part.
Well, what do you got, Jess?
I really enjoy the one even though I don't like the movie, I enjoyed the one in Amazing Spider-Man where he's in the library. And he's got the headphones on. I did like that one. And
that was good.
And Spider-Man and the Lizard are fighting in the back. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy that one. I thought that one was very clever. I like the one. What's the one in Guardians? I just wish that the other thing.
Is he in Guardians?
Yeah, he's playing like the old Rocket refers to him as pervert, I believe.
I know what it is. It's Age of Ultron, where he's getting drunk with Thor.
Oh.
Yeah. I like that one too. I think the one in Amazing Spider-Man is my favorite, and then I think Age of Ultron is probably my second favorite.
I think my favorite is still the original Iron Man when he's just walking out from the party and Tony Stark casually goes by him and pats him on the back because he's wearing that robe. Good to see you, Hef.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably my favorite. Followed closely by Civil War when he's like, "Is it, I have a package for Tony Stank."
Stank.
And then Rhodey's like, "Oh, that's good. That's good." He's like, "Stank, party of one." God, I love Rhodey.
What happened right now?
I don't know. What do you want?
God bless America's.
He definitely moved up from the Shockers.
He was the Iron Patriot, so I mean, it's not too much.
So, Zach, do you follow comics much? Spider-Man. Like, have you seen the stuff they're doing with Thor, like the new Thor, the new Iron Man?
I've seen a little bit about it, just, you know, from just general news and things like that, and certain things with Spider-Man.
I do think it's interesting, because they say the new Thor is actually selling better than the old Thor did.
With Jane Foster as Thor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard
Well,
that.
Well, it's probably, I mean, it's new, it's interesting, and that's probably what they're trying to do. I don't know that it will last. I mean, with a character maybe like Thor, it might be okay, but I would always want my Spider-Man to be Peter Parker. Now, I realize that they have other versions of it, which I'm totally okay, but I would want the main flagship title, Amazing Spider-Man, to be Peter Parker. I'm totally okay with Spider-Man 2099 with that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's actually an interesting character. It was really well written by, I think, Peter David did that one, I think, and he's one of my favorite Spider-Man writers. I think that was Peter David. For a while. I'm okay with alternate versions. Say, for example, we had talked about Spider-Girl before. I never actually read that title. I heard it was really good. I'm okay with that.
Spider-Gwen?
No, Spider-Girl.
It's different. Spider-Girl was...
There's so many.
Yeah, canceled. But,
it was Earth 2, I believe.
So is Spider-Girl different from Spider-Woman?
Yes. Spider-Girl
is fucking ridiculous.
Spider-Girl is an alternate reality that has...
Spider-Girl is under 18. Spider-Woman is a full-grown woman.
Yes.
Why am I not surprised by that? I'm very aggressive today.
It's in the name. Yes, you're very perceptive. Spider-Girl is supposedly really well-written. It's basically an alternate reality where... I don't think they have the Shocker in that universe. They probably did. But it's if Peter and Mary Jane, like if they had actually had their child, and it was her, and her name was May.
Mayday Parker.
Mayday Parker.
That's a stupid ass name.
What's her basketball? And she played.
Shut your mouth.
Nickname. Mayday Parker.
Yeah. That's what they called her.
Her nickname was Mayday.
Yeah.
Her basketball team gave it to her.
That's dumb.
But it was. You're just. Hating on them, just like the patriarchy. That's what you sound like. You sound like the patriarchy.
That's exactly what I sound like.
Yeah, I was just curious what you thought of all that. Like, they're really pushing it. I know, like, DC's doing, like, Chinese, they have a Chinese Superman, Chinese Wonder Woman, a Chinese Batman.
My thing is, I mean, I'm totally okay with on board that seeing what they want to diversify and appeal to larger groups. But I would prefer them make new characters. Try not to use an existing one. I mean, if you want to restart something, like I was still looking, like, see, for example, in the Ultimate Universe, they changed some things, which I was totally okay with. I don't know how I feel about changing midway and having someone else take up the mantle of a hero, unless it's something that traditionally passes. See, for example, like in the Doctor Who series, doesn't that pass from person? That's traditional, right? It passes to a different person?
He's turning into a different person.
He's
regenerating as someone else.
Okay. Well, that's the natural flow of the character versus changing something midstream just for the purpose of, I don't know, selling a book. I want them to be original. Create someone original now.
I feel like they worry that they make something original that might not stick. But my biggest issue is none of it really matters. I feel, this is kind of, I love comic books. So I feel the issue is, you always have that one writer who grew up with, like, X. Like, he grew up with Spider-Man in the 70s. That's the Spider-Man he loved. So they kind of, even if any progress has been made, they want to kind of revert back to that class, like, you know, what they are most familiar with. So, like, you'll get some forward progress made with one writer, then the next writer is kind of like, oh, this is actually the Spider-Man I enjoy. So they take it back. Like, you kind of see it with Superman, where they kind of try to grow him, try to change him a little bit, but then someone takes him back to the old, you know, Boy Scout, and I don't know. I kind of wish they just kept writers on the comic book for, like, forever. Like, you're just chained to a desk, and you're you're doing that one comic book until you retire.
I agree. I think it would be great if they could consistently say, hey, if they could designate, we want you to write 100 issues, commit to this for, like, 4 years or something, and, you know, get in your mind where you want the character to go, and we're going to take it there. We're going to commit, and that's what we're going to do. It's not about shock value every year. This is our new big event. No, we just have good stories that we tell consistently. Show up for it, or you're going to miss something.
Yeah, and I would even like the Captain America thing where they changed them. That would have been cool, except for the fact that I knew they're going to go back to it. I'm like, you're not going to keep Sam Wilson. You're just going to do this like a year or two. So I think Superior Spider-Man was the longest one. I think that went on for 2 years before they finally went back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually it's not even 2 years. I was like, yeah.
It did last a long time. It's interesting, though. I mean, it did leave some ramifications that Peter had to deal with because, you know, the guy was him. So it did make some changes.
Let's be honest. The Avengers should have figured that out. Like,
yes, they should have. Absolutely.
Like, you, I mean, like, this is the worst group of Avengers ever. You guys suck.
It's the worst group of Avengers, and his family that was around him type thing should have known it instantly. I mean, even though they undid the marriage and everything, Mary Jane knew him well enough. Because technically everything happened the same, so she should have known there's something wrong with him type thing. There's something different.
Remember the time your wife came home and got a haircut you didn't notice? This is like 20 times worse than that.
This is, you know, the time you came home and your wife is like murdered someone in the bathtub you didn't notice.
Hey, honey, what's this sticky stuff?
It's like, hey, honey, did you not clean the tub today? What have you been doing? I mean, where's dinner? Dinner's not ready? Tub's not clean? Full of blood? What have you been doing?
Yeah. That's a whole lot of trouble.
Patriarchy. Have you seen one of the things that they're teasing now? It's a story going to come out. It's called Dead No More. And it appears that they have Gwen Stacy on the cover.
Yeah, I think they're teasing different people who are dead that might come back.
Might, yeah.
I'm regretting it. I'm like,
well, they have three iconic deaths that I really don't think that they should mess with. And Spider-Man, Uncle Ben needs to stay dead. Captain Stacy needs to stay dead, and Gwen Stacy needs to stay dead.
Osborn should stay dead, too, but it's too late for that.
I actually, he can die and stay dead, but I did like the way that they brought him back. That was actually one of my favorite Spider-Man issues. It was Spectacular Spider-Man 75, where they essentially tried to wrap up the Clone Saga in a big bow, which was, you know, which was a terrible mess. I think in terms of trying to reconcile all of that, the person who had, I mean, imagine if it was your job to clean that up. I think they did a good job with it. It was a good way to bring Norman back, and Norman was a really good threat, and it was a good way to bring Peter back, too, because Peter had been replaced as... So that was one of their methods of getting rid of Mary Jane in the marriage, is to say that Peter was the clone, and that Ben Reilly was the actual Spider-Man the whole time, so they wrote him out, and that didn't work out really well, so they had to fix it.
I'm sorry, but and nothing in that was good.
Yeah, and the issue is actually, it's one of my favorite. It's got a great cover on it. Like, it's a splash cover that's a front and back. It's really well done. It's really well written, and it's kind of a really good moment where, you know, the Goblin's been planning all this stuff all these years to get Peter back because he tells him, you know, he was messing with him the whole time. And that there's a really good, you know, classic Peter Parker stand-up moment in it when, you know, the Goblin's kind of got him down, and it looks like, you know, he's... got a lot of his senses dull because he's got a pumpkin bomb, like he's got gas all around him that's supposed to neutralize his spider sense. And he sits there and he just throws a whole bunch of pumpkin bombs at him, and he doesn't move. He just sits there and just takes it. You know, he sits there, calls him out, and he says, you know, is that all you got? You're going to have to come do a lot more than that. Of course, Osborn's all upset, and then he takes him and just snatches him off the glider and just pummels him. And it's a really good intense moment because all this, you know, smoke and mirrors type thing, Peter takes off the Goblin's mask and takes off his mask, you know, looks him eye to eye and says, this was never about the mask. He said, this is about you and me, man to man. It's a really, really good, intense moment.
I have to go back and reread it because I don't believe you. I don't remember there being anything good in that Clone Saga.
Oh no, this technically isn't the Clone. It's after the Clone Saga. It's how they tied it up.
I don't know if I even kept reading after that, to be honest with you.
It's Spectacular. I think I'm pretty sure it's Spectacular Spider-Man 75. It's like a anniversary issue. It's a double size. I'll send it to you so that you can, or send you a link or something to it.
Okay.
It's trust me. It's, I mean, now I read it when I was 12 and I enjoyed it a lot when I was 12 and I did have my Spider-Man blinders on at the time and everything Spider-Man was amazing. Right. But thinking back on it, I liked it. I think the only thing that I didn't enjoy Spider-Man wise that I thought was off at the time, there was a Spider-Man Dracula one shot. And even at 12, I thought, this is weird.
Yeah.
This doesn't fit. Something here does not belong with the others.
That is pretty weird.
Yep.
All right, one more thing for the night. Do you own Spider-Man footy pajamas?
No, but I do own Spider-Man, like they're house shoes, but they're like socks.
We'll see what we can do about getting some footy pajamas in your size.
Okay.
As a thank you for being our guest.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Well, I appreciate you guys for having me again. I've enjoyed it. It's always a good discussion. And I usually learn something new, and I also learn something that I didn't want to know. So thanks for that, Jess. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
I'm sorry. Did we wake you? I'm sorry.
No, I was just muted.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, buddy.
Another time. Hey,
we'll talk to you next month.
Yeah, hopefully we did well enough to get hate mail, but not terrible hate mail.
Yeah, not like internet bullying hate mail, but kind of like I hate you hate mail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hate mail that says, you're wrong, and this is why, versus the, I'm going to find where you live and take out everyone you know.
Zach, no, this is the internet. No one ever just says, this is why. It's just, you're wrong and I hate you. That's it.
Yeah, like, they don't have to have reason.
It's like, you were wrong because you were born that way? Appreciate it. Oh, okay.
Born that way.
Yeah. It's like, your opinions were wrong when you were born. You should just give up now.
That's basically how it works.
Yeah. Well, all right. I appreciate it, guys. We'll talk to y'all next time.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. That was our special Rashad's Comic Book Corner with our special guest, Zach. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We know it got a little long, but we really enjoyed the conversation. So we didn't really want to cut too much out of it. We wanted to kind of leave it as is. So, but as always, you can reach us on all the social medias at JNR Geek Out Pod. Please tweet at us. Please send us emails at jessandrashadgeekout@gmail.com. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.